Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, and we are happy that you have decided to make a little time for us. We're here for a couple hours, and we hope you'll stick around as long as you possibly can. Get to your calls in a minute, some really great guests. But we begin with some headlines. Brian Harsin back in the news again, doubling down on his previous comments. He did an interview with Chris Lowe of ESPN.
We all face challenges, and they don't always go our way. So what are you going to do, and how are you going to respond when you get faced with some adversity? So it's no different, you know, for our players. And I really believe that. And in this case, you know, I'm facing some adversity. We're facing some adversity as a program. You know, you stand up and you fight back because you believe in who you are and you believe in what you're doing. And I think that was a big part of it. And I had said that, did not come here to fail. Came here to be a part of this program. Knew there was going to be challenges. Didn't know every single one of them, but knew there would be challenges in taking this job and playing in this league and trying to play at the level that we all want this program to be at. Yeah, for our players, for our coaches, for everybody a part of this program, myself included, we all get faced with challenges. How are you going to respond?
Adversities and challenges. I mean, I understand when your program loses a player to injury or you have an unfortunate situation, but Coach Harsin, your problem came from within. It came from probably your top booster. Interesting, to say the least. Meanwhile, in happier times, Nick Saban, talking last night, giving out the first Nick Saban Legacy Award at the Birmingham Monday Morning Quarterback Club. The winner, Steve Spurrier, Eddie Robinson. And on Coach Spurrier, Saban said, and to be honest with you, we never had a whole lot of success against him. How about 1-3? If you really want to look at the records, he was someone who I thought I always looked up to in terms of success he had, the program he ran, the things he did, the relationships he created with players. I had the utmost respect for him and still do. For the record, Steve Spurrier is still alive. Pac-12 in the news again. What is going on way out west? There's spring meetings already. They're talking NIL. They're talking media rights. They're hoping that they become relevant again. Keep hoping. We'll talk to the author of that article a little bit later on. Pay-to-play is still a conversation. It never ends. I was talking to a group of college football fans at lunch today, and that literally was the only topic they wanted to talk about. What's going on with NIL? How bad is it? And will it get worse? The answer, it's bad, and yes, it will get worse. Quinn Ewers can tell us all about it. Remember, the top player in the country last year decided to go to Ohio State, signed a multi-million-dollar deal. Then he decided, you know what? I'm back to Texas. He said, and I quote, "It's hard to make life-changing decisions when you're only 17 or 18 years old. But this time, I really just tried to block out all the noise and focus on what I wanted for myself. It took a lot of prayer, but I'm confident in the choice I made. If you're looking for a messier answer, you won't find that here. I enjoyed my time at Ohio State, and I'll look back on it as a lesson that pushed me to where I'm meant to be. I'm grateful for the experience." And we're grateful that you're grateful. David Ubben on the world of college football. Some people think it's a mess, but it's still okay. And I happen to agree with Ubben. As bad as it is, I'm still watching when that first game kicks off in late August. What about you? The guest list, spectacular as always. Chris Lowe, aforementioned article on Brian Harsin. Heather Dinich on What's Up. And we'll have some debate here as well. As we talk about the rest of the guests, Wilner and Ubben. The great debate series begins today, and there really isn't much debate. Charles Woodson, Peyton Manning. Remember, Woodson beat Manning in the 97 Heisman. I've always said it was one of the greatest travesties of all time. One day I was looking literally across a green room from the person I said that about, Charles Woodson. I said it to him too. That's why I'm missing a front tooth. We are going to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Look forward to doing all of that. And let's begin with William in Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, Paul. Big Georgia fan here. I think I probably told you that before, but this is my thought. Griffith,
yeah,
seems to be the villain du jour on your show. I mean, you don't like him. A lot of the callers don't like him. And I've got a suggestion. And you tell me if you can do this or not. You said that you don't choose the guests, but maybe you can have some influence. There are others you could have on there. And you've had some of them on. Connor Riley would be a good one to have on. He would not trigger that. Jim Donnan would be a great one. I think you have a lot of respect for Coach Donnan. I'll tell you somebody that would be – he would never be such a homer is Vince Dooley. He always talked up the opponents and talked down his team. He would be a good one. DJ Shockley would be one, and I think one of the best ones you could have, because he's getting older, but you know him, Lauren Smith would be a good one.
Well, you know what? Every one of those people that you mentioned we have had on this program, and I want to make it clear. I do play in terms of picking the guests. I'm part of a collective group of people that help program this show. I try to offer my advice and counsel, and then we see where it ends up. But all of those people you mentioned, Connor to Lauren, they've all been here. Jim Donnan, I think, will be here later in the week. Coach Dooley, I think, is one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. So we have no argument there. I want to make it clear. I don't dislike Mike Griffith. We have fun with him because that's what this should be about. And Mike comes in here and unlike some people, doesn't try to turn this into an NPR conversation. He makes it fun.
Well, he creates controversy.
He does.
He does that. So, and I kind of enjoy it. But you seem to have him on a regular basis, where there's other ones like Coach Don Press that you might have him on maybe 2 times a year, 3 times a year, something like that. But he seems to be your regular guest, and man, he is a punching bag once he gets off of there.
No, you're right about it. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Daryl is up next.
You know what? I got a better suggestion. How about Daryl from Columbus? How about that? I told you about Mike Griffith. I told you that's how people felt about it. He doesn't like Georgia. He just doesn't, Paul. I don't know what his problem is. I think it has a lot to do with Stetson Bennett remaining the quarterback, because he did go out there and go public and say that Georgia could not win a national championship with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. Got proven wrong. But he's just, you know, I don't know about Griffiths, man. There are other ones. Connor Riley's good. All them guys he names good. Jim Donnan, you know, Jim Donnan's great. But, Paul, real first, I want to say something, okay? I want to say that my segment, my little take right here is brought to you by Ben Dodgerin, who is a divorce attorney in Columbus, Georgia. If you feel like your significant other has a boy or girlfriend, don't think twice. Just call Ben, okay? He'll take care of it.
Now, Daryl, can you give me his number off the air?
Yeah, I'll give you his number off the air. You ain't
getting I was getting a little concerned.
I mean, you're going to lose out big time on the alimony.
Maybe not.
He would take you to the cleaners, Paul.
I might profit from it.
Hey, let me ask you something. I saw you doing a take, I think, on Jocks regarding Nick Saban. When Nick Saban does decide to retire and step down, people that would possibly be the next head coach, I mean, don't you think that no successful coach is going to want to follow Saban? Maybe the coach after Saban, but wouldn't it be like a lose? I mean, it would be a lose situation. The expectations would be through the roof. They can forget about Kirby Smart. I tell you, there's no way. I'm confident that Kirby Smart is locked in at Georgia for as long as he wants to be there. We will match any offer. Dabo, what do you think about Dabo? I mean, is he still a hot item or what?
I don't think so. And again, every time I say this, people disagree, but I was with a group of Alabama fans a week and a half ago in Birmingham, and this is just anecdotal, but they didn't really like Dabo. I don't think Dabo would be on their short list.
I'll tell you what, I mean, the time's going to come eventually, and I think it's going to come sooner than later. I think Saban's trying to get that one more title, and after that, I just got a feeling he's just going to shut it down with the NIL and the transfer portal. I mean, he's just going to shut it down, and when that time comes, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Alabama, because I got a feeling it's going to go right back to the DeBose, Price, and Shula days for a while anyway. I mean, they're not going to be on top, I don't think. But anyway, I wanted to get your take on that. I did hear your point on the old Jocks. And, Paul, let me say this. When I hear you on Dan Patrick, when I hear you on Jocks, you are a great guest. You bring it big time. You are the voice of the SEC. There's no doubt about that. And that makes me very happy. See you, Paul. Bye.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate those extremely kind words. And we are heading to a break. We'll find out more about Brian Harsin as he comes back for year two. We'll talk to Chris Lowe, who went down and interviewed him recently.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We're back, and we appreciate you rejoining us in case you were looking around during the break. Chris Lowe has done some great work, too. Blockbuster interviews with Brian Harsin. And Chris joins us now from ESPN. Chris, always great to have you on. Thank you for your time. Take us through your most recent conversation with Harsin first.
Well, Paul, it's always good to be with you. Brian was very candid. I think you saw, certainly, I spent about probably an hour and a half total with him. You saw some of his raw emotion. I think there's some scars that are still there from what happened back in February, in particular what he said his family had to go through. But I think more so than anything, what I came away from thinking is this guy's as resolute and as committed as he's ever been. I think there's some anger still there. He admitted that. But there's also a commitment, a really deep commitment to his football team, his players, his staff. He feels like his staff is more aligned now. He promoted some of his guys, Eric Kiesel, Jeff Schmetting. He brought in some new guys that have SEC chops, Ike Hilliard, Jimmy Brumbaugh, Christian Robinson, and understands that, in the realm of the SEC, as you well know, as a coach, you never take anything for granted. But at Auburn, with the complexities that exist there and have existed for a long time, he understands what the stakes are. And if there's an opening, if they start poorly, if there's anything that gives anybody a chance, the powers that be, the administration, he understands where that may lead. But I can tell you this, he ain't backing down.
Chris, let me ask you this. I would assume you know the question. If you don't, that's fine. Has anyone apologized to Brian Harsin for dragging his name through the mud, his wife's name, his personal life? Has anyone from the administration or maybe from the top shelf of the booster realm called Brian Harsin and said, we're sorry, we take responsibility? We tried to get you fired. We put out a bunch of spurious nonsense about your personal life that we knew was a fraud, but we wanted to fire you because we don't like you. Has anyone said anything like that to Brian Harsin?
Not that I know of. And you know, I want to be clear on this. He did not point the finger at anybody in particular.
Chris, I'm not suggesting he did, but we all know this didn't come out of clear view. I think he's handling it great, but I think if we did a forensic test, we it wouldn't be that difficult to track where all this came from, or at least the same zip code.
Well, if you did that over the last 25 years, you'd probably
I've got the zip code. You're right. Well said. It's the same zip code.
I did ask him point blank, did you ever get any clarification on what precipitated this, where it came from? And he very definitively said no. So that's probably the closest that he came to answering that question. He did say that he is going to try to be out and about more. I think he's going to do more things or try to do more things, get out, whether it's, you know, boosters, whether it's things, golf trips. He's done some of those Auburn caravan type stops, more of those. I think that's something that, not that he didn't do any of them, I think he's going to make more of a concerted effort to do that. Will that do any good? Ultimately, it's going to come down to whether they win or lose games against the right people. And the other thing I ask him, and you know this to be the case, Paul, if they hold on to that lead the fourth quarter against Alabama last year, and I was there on the plane for that game, as much as some people did not want him to be their head coach and felt like he was not a fit, we wouldn't even be having this conversation now. Had they beaten Alabama, we would not even be talking about any of this. I feel 100% confident of that.
In talking to him, and I realize, Chris, you know, you have relationships and there's only so much anyone is willing to put on camera or in a story, but do you have a better idea maybe that of where specifically this came from? Because it, you know, all the mea culpas on his part and not getting over, I mean, all that's great, but it doesn't solve the problem. The cancer is still somewhere in the vicinity, is it not?
Well, and I think the best I can sort of sort out in talking to him and others close to the program, I think a lot of this came from exit interviews that were conducted with players, with coaches, with parents of players, fairly or unfairly, that made accusations or said that relationships weren't good. Now, that may have been just a small part of it, but I think that's what ultimately precipitated this inquiry that was led by the administration. It was an administrative-directed inquiry where he was in Mexico at the time with his wife and essentially in football coaching purgatory, 8 days, I think. And then they brought him back. And I don't think at the end of the day, Paul, there wasn't enough there to fire the guy for cause. And I don't think at that point anybody was ready to stroke a check for $18.3 million. And the president's outgoing. There's a new president coming in. I think later this month, the new president's coming in there at Auburn. And here we are right now.
Chris, you've always got a great reputation as a reporter, and I feel, you know, somewhat hesitant to even go down this road, but I'm kind of sick of putting all of this on one thing. And what I mean by that is, yeah, the players' noise created some upset stomachs, but the reason that some down there felt they could fire him was of a personal nature. And I know you've looked into it. I've had friends who have, you know, combed every imaginable route and have come up with zero, absolutely nothing on that front. And that's the mystery about it. So where did that come from? Why did some internet posts show up late at night, essentially saying the guy's going to be fired the next day, and then rumors galore? I know I'm getting to a very dark web area of this conversation, but I think without that, we would have never gotten to the next part of this.
Well, he was never the popular choice in the first place when they brought him in, a quote-unquote outsider. I asked him about that, you know, coming into a place like Auburn where you're not the guy that everybody wants there, the power brokers, the prominent boosters. The guy that hired him, Alan Green, the athletic director. I mean, Alan's contract's up in in December. I'm not sure that he's a guy that's going to be around there much longer either. And so I think you sort of add two and two together there, Paul, where it came from. And again, this is not new, and you know this as well as anybody. You've been in that state for forever. I mean, Gus Malzahn in 2017 was done. He was as done as toast can be, and all of a sudden he beats Georgia and Alabama in back-to-back weeks, and he goes from being fired to getting a 7-year, $49 million contract. And yet, despite all this dysfunction, think about this. This is another thing that Brian and I talked about. In the last 12 years, Auburn has either won a national championship, played for a national championship, or been on the cusp of potentially playing for another one in 17, because if they beat Georgia in that rematch in the SEC championship game, they're in the playoff. So that's three times in the last 12 years that they played for one, they've won one, or they've been right there on the cusp. And that's why guys like a Brian Harsin see Auburn, and they understand the complexities, they understand what the history is. They see it's a place that you can still win at the highest level despite some of this.
In terms of all the changes that he's made, you know, and it doesn't matter why he didn't do it the first time around. Maybe there's a reason why he didn't do it. And I guess I'll ask you that. Was he pressured into hiring some of the people that he hired?
No, I don't think so. I think there was some things that happened that were sort of out of his control or unforeseen. Just wasn't a fit for some of the guys that are on his staff. And I know this, he feels a lot better.
Well, but Chris, if those coordinators were his hire originally, then do we not have to question his judgment? I mean, he flat out, you know, hired two guys. You know, one he got rid of, the other one bailed out. I mean, it's great to have a reset, but he is the head coach.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's anybody that would say that when you're the first year head coach and it doesn't go the way you want to with your staff, that you don't bear some of the responsibility. And I think he does. You know, but it's not the first time a guy's coming in as a first-year guy and the people he brought in, maybe it's not exactly what he thought and he feels like he needs to reset. So I think that's sort of where they are right now. And remember, two of the guys he promoted were sort of his guys. I don't, you know, he has never said to me that he was pressured into hiring certain guys. Was there a feel that he needed to bring in guys that were quoted as SEC guys? Derek Mason and Mike Bobo, perhaps. But I think you look now at who he's got in those positions. These are guys that he has more of a history with, which is why I was getting ready to say a minute ago that he feels more comfortable. It feels like the staff is more aligned. Ultimately, we're going to find out. I mean, he feels better about recruiting. They did not sign a single player in the February date. Last year's class was ranked in the top 20. We'll see. I do think this team will have better chemistry. I think they have rallied around what happened. They rallied around him, the coaching staff. But you got to get it done on the field.
Before you go, Chris, we've been having we're starting with this conversation a debate about some of the great debates in college football history. I know you wrote a lot about this a couple of years ago on the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of it, the Manning-Woodson debate. What do you remember in reporting that? And really, quite frankly, through living through what happened 20-some-odd years ago?
That was my first year, Paul, at the Tennessee and the Nashville, covering the Vols. My first year, and 97, was there for every practice, every game, was in New York City for the ceremony. And I'll tell you what is my most vivid memory. I remember walking out of the swamp the third week of September, and Florida had won. Tony George returns the interception, 80-some yards for a touchdown. I still think that's the loudest stadium I've ever heard. I remember walking out of that stadium thinking, you know what? I'm not sure there's anything Manning can do the rest of the year that's going to help him win the Heisman Trophy. I really felt like that day, as unfair as it seems, that he lost the Heisman Trophy, because I just didn't think there were enough voters who were going to vote for him and were going to hold it against him personally that he never beat Florida as a starter, even though he went on to win the SEC championship. Tennessee wins the SEC championship. He had a great year. He put up great numbers. And as Charles Woodson started to sort of make his march and played so well and had so many things he did that impacted Michigan's national championship, that team, he was sort of the perfect guy to unseat Peyton. And I still believe all these years later, and I voted for the Heisman Trophy every year, there are a lot of voters, because they felt like Peyton had sort of been force-fed to them, and he'd been there for 4 years, that were sort of looking for a reason not to vote for him. And also they had a guy, Charles Woodson, who was a dynamic player in all facets of the game.
Chris Lowe on 25 years ago and a couple of months ago in Auburn. Great job, as always. Chris Lowe joining us as we quickly run to the break. More of your phone calls, more guests to come as we are only just 30 minutes underway here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here as we get to some phone calls. Andre is in the ATL. Good afternoon to you.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. Thanks, Coach. Hey, I was listening to your interview with Chris Lowe. Listen, Brian Harsin can say what he wants to say down there in Auburn, Alabama. It ain't about X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. It's talent. It's recruiting. And if you ain't in the top 10 in recruiting in the SEC, you're not going to win. This is just how it goes, Coach. This is big boy ball. This is Jim, what is it, back in the 1800s, brass knuckles fighting in the middle of the ring. You know, this is how this is. Ain't no hiding, ain't no running, ain't no trick plays, no schemes. That doesn't work in this conference. This is Jack Johnson fighting down here, Coach. And all these schemes and stuff and willpower, that's not going to win down here. And you know and I know those Auburn boosters are just waiting. They're going to pull the trigger on the guy. I mean, I'm an LSU fan. I don't have a dog in the fight. But you know and I know what's coming, Coach. Now, let me get on to really the matter at hand. All these other conferences that talk about how great their conference is, all you have to do is look at recruiting and look at the NFL and the NFL draft. This is where the talent is. It's in the footprint of the Southeast. And I listen to these guys calling in from up there in Ohio and talk about how great Ohio State is. Hell, I could be great, too, if I was out here on the interstate and I only had to pass one state trooper. I could look like Jeff Gordon. That's all. It's not the Big Ten up there. It's the Big One. It's just Ohio State. Who else up there do you fear in that conference, Coach Feinbaum?
Nobody.
That's what I thought. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, I agree with Andre, by the way, that it's a matter of time for Coach Harsin. You had a great interview with Chris Lowe, but your questions were better than his answers, I found. it's still a guy with a certain amount of grudge and arrogance. I realize they were lame duck president AD that didn't support him, but he should be doing interviews and conversations with the new administration and the boosters because as soon as they can afford it, they will dump him.
Yeah, the part about this conversation with it, which I find cringeworthy, is the new attitude down there, John, a new commitment. I mean, you get hired and make $6-7 million a year. You screwed it up the first time. Why must us to believe you got it right the second time? And by the way, Nick Saban replaced his offensive coordinator quickly at Alabama, but you also knew he was recruiting at the highest level. Harsin's not.
Yeah, and by the way, on the Charles Woodson, whether he should have won the Heisman or not, I think what happened there is Michigan won a national championship that year, And the other was that Woodson could do so many things, but particularly against the Ohio State, in the Ohio State game. I think that was the difference maker.
He also, John, Woodson also had one other thing that Peyton Manning didn't. He had a network blatantly campaigning for him, and I won't mention the name of it.
And here's a suggestion for your show. I was listening to the Love Fest yesterday with Jay and JR. I think you called him Mutt and Jeff. And I'm not disrespecting Jim. I love Jim when he's a happy caller. But after they got done telling you that you're talking too much and you're a propagandist and all that, I got to thinking we should have a two things. One is a metal chair award for the worst caller. And I would put Jeff up there right away. Not Jim, simply because it's the same old call. He complains about you, your guests, the SEC, ESPN, and then pathetically invites himself to your show. And then the other is, ever since you had the Best Caller Award, there's been these moving alliances. My daughter calls them the Mean Girls, but they've been changing their alliances and who's going to sit at whose table. Now you've got Squirrel, who I could have sworn 2 months ago was the archenemy of Jim. Now he's Jim and Jeff's best friend, and that makes two friends for Jeff. And then you've got Augie kind of, you know, moving toward Jim. And if you could put together a flow chart that could easily be changed from time to time, it would be helpful.
Well, just look at the last 45 years of General Hospital. The characters are interchangeable. Thank you very, very much for the call. And Roddy is up next. Hey, Roddy.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
Before I get to my question or comment, I got to tell you, we had a family outing at the USFL game with the Stallions.
Yes.
My 11-year-old granddaughter come running over to me. She said, "Grandfather, grandfather, you need to call Paul and tell him to talk about the USFL."
Yeah, I watched some of that game. They're off to a great start.
She was upset that she never hears USFL. Well, here's my question. The NIL. Now that these booster clubs or quote-unquote collective are having to raise all this money to pay these players, and we're talking about, I guess, millions of dollars, how is that going to impact all these millions of dollars that they're having to pay the coaches? Is it going to kind of slow that down?
No, I mean, the money, that money's already baked into the system. This is new money, so to speak. I think a secondary question, Roddy, though, is, you know, that money that goes to the collective, where was it going before that? Was it going to the university? Was it going to the athletic department, the education department, the theater department? There will be some losses due to the money going to the player, which has no real value. I mean, you give money to a university, there may be a building or something that comes out of it, but the players, you don't even know if they're going to be there the next year. Quick break, more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back, and let's continue with more phone calls. And Mitch is up next. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Uncle Paul. How was your weekend?
Great.
First off, put me down for 1,000 votes for Peyton Manning. And if I have to pay for them, I will. But I want to comment on the J&J conversation yesterday.
Yes.
You showed tremendous restraint. You showed patience. You never let your voice raise. And I know you had to want to just tell them to shut up. You let them just keep on bantering and bantering. Now, Jim, he is a Alabama fan, so this is his network. But if Jeff wants to hound somebody about a guest, why don't he call into the Big Ten Network?
Well, I don't mind Jeff hounding somebody. What I do mind is Jeff bringing up the same lame example for about the 15th time about two people that aren't on the program. We have moved on. We don't live in the past here. Whatever happens, happens. Whatever changes occur, whatever we do or don't do, we have to have another show the next day. And he keeps asking the same thing. That's what I objected to. The other guy, I mean, there's no way to. I don't think the other guy realizes that he stepped all over a really interesting call by the guy he seems to adore so much, Jeff. He was ruder to Jeff than he was to me. I mean, I expect that from him, but. Another guy had already called. He just barged into the call and never stopped talking.
No, but Jeff must ask you in five or six different ways, and you just maintained your professionalism and just let him keep on going. And I was very impressed with that.
Well, I was trying to be transparent, but he never stopped long enough to hear the answer. Sometimes that happens when you have a disease called diarrhea of the mouth. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate it. Dave is up next.
Hi, Paul. Dave from Missouri. I just wanted to say my wife, Peggy, and I are big fans of the Mike Griffith segment. We look forward to every time he comes on. And when you guys spar, it is so very entertaining to us. And we can tell that you guys really like each other, too.
Yeah, Mike is a friend of mine. And, you know, sometimes I just play around. Sometimes it comes off a little heavy-handed. But that's just the nature of what we do. If we didn't like Mike, we wouldn't talk to Mike.
Yes. Well, I just heard a lot of bad-mouthing about him. And I just wanted you to know that we really like him.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Nick is up next in Missouri. Hello, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey there. How are you?
I was just calling on. Wanted to ask a question about Mizzou football.
What do you
think their ceiling is for their
Nick, I don't think there is a ceiling. I think Coach Drink has done a phenomenal job recruiting, and now it's just a matter of putting all the pieces together.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the receiving core. I think it's underrated for sure. I mean, with Luther Burden coming in, and you got Dominic Lovett there too.
Yeah, I mean, we have the schedule up on the screen, and I think last year they threw away that game at BC, and you know this year I think they can start off 3-0 before they go to Auburn, and it's an impossible game to know right now. Georgia the next week speaks for itself at Florida. It's a tricky first half of the season. I think they need to come out of there. With in good shape. I mean, if somehow you drop that K-State game and lose to Auburn, Georgia, and Florida, that's a pretty miserable beginning. And I think that's really the difficult part. But I think they can get through the first half of the season in one piece. Thank you for the call. We have a long way to go. We've already talked to Chris Lowe about Brian Harsin, Heather Dinich coming up in a little while, David Ubben later on, and more of your phone calls right after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.